It'll take me just a couple of minutes to get Mr. Josephson on the phone. I believe the next item on the agenda will be the Corps of Engineers. Mr. Josephson?
Hello?
Mr. Josephson?
Yes.
The next item on the agenda is the U.S. Army Corps of Engineers, City of Virginia Beach, 090427. The hearing is about to begin, and we appreciate you being with us.
Thank you.
Mr. Worrell?
Good morning, Commissioner Bowman, members of the Commission. The Corps of Engineers in the City of Virginia Beach are requesting a permit modification to expand the recently approved nourishment proposal for the Cape Henry Beach area situated along the Chesapeake Bay in Virginia Beach. The expansion would include the westernmost section of the Cape Henry Beach line between Jade Street and the Lesnar Bridge. The proposed expansion is protested by several riparian property owners within the scope of the project. Let me just preface the presentation by noting that some of the information in the eval and the evaluation is dated, and that we just received several protests yesterday. We also received the court orders yesterday, so I'll be citing those and actually handing out some of that information during the presentation. Many of the slides we see, I'll present, and you all will see, will be duplicates of the May hearing as well, with some similar slides with slight modifications. This is the vicinity map of the area, the Chesapeake Bay. This is the Cape Henry Beach area, the Lynnhaven Inlet and Lesnar Bridge on the west, First Landing State Park on the east. This is the overall plan view of the project that the Commission approved in May. In the blue hatched area is the proposed nourishment from the park all the way down to the Jade Avenue, Jade Street location. Now, on July 2nd, staff received a modification request from the City of Virginia Beach to include this particular area that's hatched in red to the nourishment permit. They specifically asked to be heard on the July 28th hearing today, and that the nourishment was necessary to address emergency erosion affecting these properties, and that they basically were in a time crunch based on the Corps' plan of activity for dredging the federal inlet, as well as stimulus funding that was tied to the dredging, and that logistically they wanted to nourish this area first when the contractor started, and that this, and more importantly, the city fully expected to prevail in court through the condemnation and right of entry hearings that were to occur on July 22nd and July 23rd last week. Staff immediately began a public interest review and tentatively scheduled this for the 28th hearing with the condition that the city prevail in court, which they did on July 24th. This is a closer look of the modified drawing. Actually, Jade Street is right here. So the previous permit is from the east of this right-of-way, and this is the request from the west down toward the southwest. This is the same cross-section drawing we saw in May. This is the planned nourishment filling of the beach up to the dunes or existing bulkhead and out over Sebaqueous Bottom. And this is one of the more important slides. I'm going to spend a few moments here trying to identify these properties. Again, everything in hatched in yellow is part of the existing commission permit. Everything to the west is what is being requested through the modification. Now, with the May hearing, property owners from 1 and 2, which is the Terry Companies, this is the old Duck Inn site, this is Harbor Gate Condominiums, both emailed us asking for us to consider them as a part of the original nourishment project. But the city had decided at that time to basically eliminate this area from the dredging proposal. Now, as early as when we received this modification request and as late as yesterday, we received protests from 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, and 8. So basically 50 to 60% of this area is now being protested, stating they don't want the nourishment. 3 and 4 is Cape Henry Towers. 5, 7, and 8 is owned by Mr. Lewis Polson, Lynnhaven Dunes, WIR LLC and I think Poseidon Condos, and I apologize if I have some of those names incorrect. And number six is the Page Avenue Condos, all of whom are represented today. And at this moment, if it's okay, Commissioner, I'd like to hand out what we just received.
Please. Mr. Josephson, for the record, these are protests to the project by various entities that are represented here today. Proceed.
Now, I'll note in this packet, and we tried to identify this yesterday and this morning, the protests actually start with B through E. More importantly, what's labeled C is the protest letter from Cape Henry Towers. And D is a packet of protests. The letters are very similar, but they're all signed by owners from Lynn Haven Dunes. And E is one of the earlier protests we received from Lewis Paulson, which is the longest one at the end. The front sheet is actually not a protest, but we did receive this yesterday from the city manager, basically confirming that the executive agreement for the nourishment area and the city protecting and indemnifying the state from legal action still applies. And at this point, I'm sorry, I have one more handout, but I thought for the record we would incorporate the court orders that we received yesterday. I just have one copy of that.
Please. Thank you.
And that should be the court orders for all four properties that were either condemned for easements or determined the right of entry access was granted. To go over briefly some of the highlights of the protestants, and I'll work my way from west to east. Numbers 3 and 4, which is Cape Henry Towers. They had complaints that this action and this request, it was a quick notice, and it was untimely and unfair for them to take an appropriate responsive action. They also stated that while they agree that they have an easement over their property, they do not think it allows the city to act on their behalf to request nourishment or actually nourish their private property. We get to properties 5, 7, and 8, summarized by the letters from Lynn Haven Dunes or Mr. Paulson. A longer list of issues, basically stating they don't feel their property's eroding, they don't feel there's an emergency, their property's actually accreting, according to them. They're concerned how nourishment may affect their riparian rights or if their riparian rights will be severed by the nourishment. They don't feel the request should have been placed on the agenda, and they question the accuracy of the city's modification request, the details that were actually in that letter, citing emergency erosion. And then back to number six, this is the Page Avenue condos. I think it's 3232 Page Avenue. We don't have any written correspondence from them, but their representative, Mr. Henry Howell, an attorney, stopped by yesterday to lodge his protest and state he would be representing them today. And basically he said the city has no right to act on these citizens' behalf. And the city could not indemnify and protect the state versus potential riparian claims and suits. And I think, as I stated earlier, representatives of all the protestants are here today. And I'll come back to this slide in a moment. These are just a couple of ground shots of this particular area. We're about in the vicinity of the Cape Henry Towers beach and walkway. This is looking back to the west or southwest. If you all are familiar with this area, this is the old Duck Inn property and the Duck Inn gazebo. It's still there. Lesnar Bridge, of course. A ground shot looking back towards the east. These are some sample pictures I showed earlier of what nourishment typically looks like on the beach. This was occurring on the Ocean Park beach a couple of years ago in an aerial of what a pipeline would look like spraying sand on the beach. And that's back to the original modification drawing. And I'll go into the summary, staff summary. The staff noted during the May hearing, we have no objection to the nourishment of the state's public beaches using dredged sand from governmental navigation projects. The key concept, though, has always been that the nourishment occur on the state's public beaches. In this particular case, even though the proposed nourishment expansion will occur adjacent to riparian properties, staff is not concerned that the private riparian properties will grow in size, provided the same conditions of the previous permit are applied to the modification request. These conditions would be an acknowledgement that any beach area created channelward of the mean low water mark, as shown on the city's April 2009 survey, will belong to the state, and that the city ensures that the public will have access to those lands. Although staff is still concerned that the perception of the current riparian owners is that their properties will be enlarged, restored, or reestablished to what may have been previously platted, the city previously agreed to handle any legal suits or private claims to any such created beach property, and or address the adverse impacts such creations may have on the riparian rights of adjacent property owners. While we endorse the nourishment of the additional stretch of beach provided the original permit conditions are imposed, staff is still unsure if the nourishment can be forced on existing riparian property owners that dissent. Mr. Paulson and Mr. Howell have obviously contested the city's efforts in this case and have indicated that they intend to appeal the recent court decisions. Staff questions if the commission should go forward at this time without a final judgment concerning the dispute, assuming the court's decisions are appealed. Undoing the results of beach nourishment would be problematic, and the existence of newly created beach areas would essentially sever the existing owners' riparian rights. If the commission decides to approve the permit modification, and then this decision is also appealed to the circuit court through the APA process, staff assumes that the city and the court would then have to decide whether to proceed to nourish this particular area at their own risk. Finally, staff recommends that if the modification is granted to nourish the entire Cape Henry Beach area, that it begin on at the eastern end down by First Landing State Park. The literal drift of sand along the shoreline in this area of the Chesapeake Bay is to the west, towards the inlet. Since sufficient material to nourish the entire shoreline to project dimensions is not likely to arise from the maintenance dredging, it would make sense to begin placing the dredged sand on the eastern end and let it drift naturally westward. Now, that's the end of the written summary and recommendation. Given the protest we received yesterday and in looking at the map of which properties are protesting in their exact locations, and let me point out again, it's 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, and 8. Staff thought it would be helpful to add an alternative solution in that maybe what's in yellow is permitted nourishment. That to avoid the protested properties, the commission consider allowing the nourishment to extend down to Parcel 9, and then also allowing the city and the court to nourish parcels 1 and 2, which again, parcels 1 and 2 were the actual parcels whose owners notified us asking specifically to be included. But however this worked out, it seems that all of the protesting property owners are in this one section between 3 and 8. And staff thought we would give you that idea.
We'll entertain that during the course of the deliberation process. Any questions from Mr. Worrell? Thank you, Justin.
And there are several people here, the city, the protestants, supporters.
Okay. Thank you.
Just leave that up.
Who wants to be heard first, the city or the Corps, the co-applicants? Who wishes to be heard?
I prefer to the Corps.
Corps of Engineers. Good morning, sir. If you raise your right hand, solemnly swear the testimony that you're about to give will be the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth, so help you God. Can you state your name, please, for the record?
Keith Lockwood.
Thank you, Mr. Lockwood. Proceed, please.
Just as last time at the commission meeting, we first came up with the permit. I am here to discuss any technical aspects of the dredging and our purpose of the Lynn Haven Inlet Federal Navigation Project. One thing I do want to address is, I guess, with our schedule and kind of one of the alternatives of going from, or the recommendation from staff, going from starting east and moving west. our bid opening has already occurred. So at this point, when we will, it'd be if we got a different modification on the permit, we can modify and attach that to an award as long as there's no significant change to the scope or cost where we'd expect a different bid price. Where I bring that in is that we, normal operations is they start from closer and move, add pipe as they go along, because we do accepted sections, and where feasibly we can start, we can tell them where to start. If they have to fuse all the pipe to the beginning and then do an acceptance section and move back, they have to do a new demobilize and mobilization cost. So that's going to add an additional scope and time and a cost. So with that, it would delay the project where we'd have to do a new bid open if we were required to do that. For this event, at least for us, under having to execute the stimulus funding under the ARRA, that would not be feasible for us to do, to be able to get this navigation of the project done in the time frame that our division at headquarters is required of us. So for us, it would need to go as it is now with the bid opening, where they are allowed to go from west to east, and as they move along, fuse pipe. So that's kind of the logistical standpoint that I wanted to address there, just so everyone was aware. Other than that, if there's any questions on the technical aspects of placing material, and of course, from the core standpoint, our main purpose is to get the federal inlet navigation channel dredged into the cycle.
Your specific concern is the dredging aspect of it, where the sand ultimately goes in a cost-effective manner is at negotiation, or the point of negotiation between you and Virginia Beach. Is that correct?
We support, the local sponsor and stakeholders, we work with them to try to, get a beneficial use. So we are in agreement that it has worked in the past, putting the sand at Ocean Park. It was very successful. And so with Cape Henry Beach, there is a need there. We fully support putting the sand there. But yes, our primary goal is expending the funds and getting the channel open for open navigation, no hazards. So.
Any questions? Mr. Fox?
Lockwood, I believe you said that you've already bid the job.
Yeah, the bid opening went out today, yes.
All right, and so you must have bid the job on the permit that was in hand, which would be just basically the yellow part,
yes,
and not the part in question.
Yes, sir.
So you would be starting...
We would be starting at J Street and moving east.
You'd be moving east.
Yes, sir.
Okay. But that's still away from the area of lots that are in question that we're discussing today.
Yes, sir.
Okay. So you could proceed if we denied the city's application. You could proceed with what you're doing and put the sand over all in the yellow area, right?
Yes, sir. But with if we were granted the opportunity to put it when those areas like 1 and 2, then we would start there.
You'd start there. You'd do 1 and 2 and then skip over to the yellow, which would be difficult.
Well, that would add to the scope. I mean, that would be something that they would price differently, because then they would have to do that section and then demobilize, bring the pipe offshore, bring it down, bring it back. So that's going to be an additional cost that therefore would most likely, if someone were to bid on it and then we were to add that in as a modification, other contractors would therefore most likely file a claim saying that, that was not brought up initially, so they were not able to price it effectively. So in that regard...
Price is everything in the yellow.
Yes. That's what they're looking at. That's what they're looking at right now.
If you are able to put sand at 1 and 2, that's a reduction in cost.
Yes. But as long as they could understand they would fuse pipe and keep going down in one fluid motion versus having to break down and start again. So if that were the case, most likely to avoid having to delay the project, unless if there wasn't a claim, then we may not be able to have to. Most likely we'd have to do a new bid opening, and to avoid that, we would probably avoid 1 and 2 and start at Jade and move east.
Further questions of Mr. Lockwood? Thank you, Mr. Lockwood.
Thank you.
Mr. Boynton.
Mr. Bowman, members of the commission, thank you very much for your time here today. first of all, I'd like
Could you state your name for the record, please,
absolutely.
Sir?
Absolutely. My name is Chris Boynton. I'm a deputy city attorney with the Virginia Beach City Attorney's Office. I represent the co-applicant, City of Virginia Beach.
Thank you.
Commissioner Bowman, members of the commission, I'd like to start briefly with a review of public policy, because I think that's important in our consideration today. Virginia Code 10.1-704 says that the beaches of the Commonwealth shall be given priority consideration as sites for disposal of that portion of dredged material determined to be suitable for beach nourishment. The Virginia Marine Resources Commission's own regulations, particularly for Virginia Administrative Code 20-400-10, incorporates that code section. Says the objective is to assure that all suitable dredge material is utilized on eroding beach shorelines to the maximum extent practicable. It says that the mission of the VMRC is to support 10.1-704 of the code, which provides that the beaches of priority be given beaches of the Commonwealth be given priority for nourishment, and also to coordinate and cooperate with appropriate state and federal agencies to the extent that VMRC regulatory actions can support those agencies regarding the use of dredge material to beach nourishment. So that's why we're here today. You have obviously beach quality sand coming out of this dredge project. There's no dispute as to that. We have a severely eroding beach, a fact which the court found in 3 days of testimony last week. And I have a number of pictures I want to contribute to you.
Sure.
That's interfering with my call.
I'm sorry.
I think we have a domestic issue. Back with us, Carl.
I had an interference here, and I have to have it stopped. I missed about a minute or two.
He was just handing out pictures, which he is indicating to the commission demonstrate erosion in the area. So you didn't miss anything other than the pictures being handed out, sir.
Okay, thank you.
Yes, sir, thank you.
Going through them very briefly, the first picture is, it shows the perspective in an aerial fashion of the Ocean Park Beach, where sand has been placed over the years, being a wide beach. You see across the inlet the Cape Henry Beach, which is much narrower by contrast. That's the area that we propose to nourish because of the erosion out there. The next picture shows Lynnhaven Beach Condominium on 11-2006. You can see the water going up to the bulkhead. The next page at Harborgate, you can see the dune, severely eroded chunks coming out of that dune, the sand fence in disrepair. If you look at the Harborgate condo, again, this picture was taken after Hurricane Noel, which passed well off the coast of Virginia. It was not a direct hit type storm at all. You see that the property damage that resulted thereafter on 11-15-07. The Old Duck Inn property has its gazebo and its pier to the gazebo at risk. Once upon a time, the gazebo would not get wet even at low tide. You have a number of pictures that show damaged dune, threatened public structures like these drainage outfalls between Cape Henry Towers and Harbor Gate. You have, again, just many, many pictures of documented erosion. And based upon these pictures, all of which were entered into evidence at court over 3 days last week, and the testimony of city coastal engineers and others, the court determined not only is this an erosive condition, but that an emergency exists requiring or allowing the city to have immediate access to the disputed properties for purposes of this project. Now, I'd like to go through very briefly with you exactly what the court proceeding involved and where we are as of this moment. The court proceeding involved, and there were actually four properties consolidated for the court hearing, three represented by Mr. Paulson, and that was 5, 7, and 8 on your map over here. Property 6, 3232 Page Avenue, was represented by Mr. Howe. Now, there were 3 days of testimony. They got to put on all their witnesses. The city put on its witnesses. At the end of the day, the court ruled that the city has absolute jurisdiction to acquire a construction easement and a recreation easement across those four properties for purposes of doing the beach nourishment project and for future or existing recreational use on that beach after the beach is nourished. Now, it went further and said, there is an emergency out here justifying immediate access to those four properties for purposes of beach nourishment. And as such, the court gave us what's called right of entry. And that is defined in 25.1-223 and 224 of the Code of Virginia. And that, again, if you look at one of the conditions in 224A2, it says there has to be a finding that an emergency exists justifying such entry before the time when just compensation can be determined and the amount so determined paid into court. So the court, in Virginia Beach Circuit Court, has ruled, you know, and you have the orders, that both the city has the right to take these easements and the city has the right to immediately go on the property for purposes of doing this project. So with respect to all of those properties, that the court has spoken. Now, it is true that people can file appeals, you know, but at the end of the day, I'd remind you that we have an agreement with you. That agreement indemnifies you. The city has undertaken the burden of this litigation on its own. You know, we will go all the way. This is not something that we see putting the BMRC or the state at risk at all. This is a city issue with property owners. We've already got the favorable ruling that allowed us to come forward as the applicant with a complete application to tell you that we have an emergency. The court has found that we can go on the property to do this specific project. Now, Cape Henry Towers, they apparently had, or at least their president is here, and there may be some other residents. Their president had called VMRC staff and asked questions. At some point, those questions became an objection, or I guess a letter with several objections. It seems to me, to some degree, the objections from Cape Henry Towers parallel the objections that were raised in the court hearing, and I think that's important. One of the arguments in the court hearing was that the city had not properly defined what it was taking, because it had not said specifically in the take area, we are cutting off your riparian rights, which is the view of the property owners as to what is happening here, although it's not a correct statement of the law. Now, the court heard that argument, and the court ruled the city had accurately described the easement area. It did not need to say it was taking a fee interest or it was taking riparian rights, that the easement itself was sufficient for purposes of going forward in the condemnation. And we think that that ruling is meaningful even to folks who are not in that proceeding, because it gives you a hint of where the court would go on that. Now, what you have here, I think, and it's been the VMRC staff concern for some time, and some of the property owners have picked up on it, that you have an easement that the city's acquired in respect to these four properties that are being condemned that lays right over the property owner's fee interest that goes to Mean Low Water. And that the court has said, city, you can go on that as of today. And then you have a line, which is existing Mean Low Water, and then channelward of that, you have state-owned bottomlands as a matter of state law. And so obviously, you have a court order saying you can fill to that line because you've acquired an interest over everything that the property owner owns that you need to put sand on it. And then you have the state, which has the right to fill its own property with beach quality sand. In fact, it's the policy of the Commonwealth so to do. Now, how do you harmonize that, and this is the question that's been raised, with the right of the property owner to peer out or to have the benefit of potential accretion if this were to stop eroding and at some point in the future start accreting? And I think there's an important case that, quite frankly, I discovered yesterday and just shared with you, and shared with the chairman so he could share with your counsel, Mr. Josephson, who unfortunately isn't here. But it's the case of Marion C. Oliver versus City of Richmond. That's 165 Virginia 53. And I apologize for getting so deep into the weeds of law. I know you gentlemen are not lawyers, but I feel like there may be questions or concerns. I wanted to address it in some degree, hoping to resolve your concerns. Now, that case involved a navigation project that the federal government was doing, but that the state had undertaken to participate with. And in that case, the court considered, how do you balance the rights of the state and federal government in the bottomlands of a riparian or of a river or a bay with the rights of the property owner? And what the court said is that the rights of the riparian owner are entirely subordinate to the right of the government for the public purpose of federal navigation. And it goes in to say a number of things. Whatever rights a riparian owner may have in the bed and waters of a navigable body are subordinate to the public right of navigation, and an exercise of that right in any form which involves no physical occupation of the upland property, however much pecuniary injury it may inflict upon a riparian owner, is not a taking. It goes further to say that it doesn't matter whether it's a state or federal project. It says, and this is kind of the penultimate sentence, they had no property right in the flow of the waters by their lands insofar as the government's right to improve navigation is concerned, and therefore they are entitled to no compensation if the water is diverted and access to it is cut off by the improvement. So at least since 1935, the Virginia Supreme Court has said what they're concerned about, they never had. This is not a real property right as against the government's right to dredge or to do navigation. That's different than one riparian property owner versus another, and it's an important distinction. I think it hopefully goes a long way to resolve this theoretical question that's been raised. But at the end of the day, you have a court speaking, giving an order saying you can go on these properties. We have an agreement on the part of the city to undertake any legal challenges that result from this nourishment activity. You have the public policy supporting the use of the sand in this way, and you have, I guess now, the only issue being the objection of Cape Henry Towers, who were not part of the litigation because we have an existing easement across that property, which is provided as a copy to you, and that existing recorded easement from 1975 in conjunction with the city's prescriptive rights was deemed by the city to be sufficient to allow the replenishment of that property too. Now, there are a number of people who are going to speak. They're probably going to say a lot of different things. They're all good folks. I'd ask for the opportunity to respond specifically to anything that's raised, and based upon that, I'll just sit down. Thank
Any
you.
Any questions of counsel?
Yes, sir.
Mr. Robbins.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. One question. Can you further describe for us what the public interest is in this case? I appreciate the photographs you presented about the state of the erosion.
Absolutely.
Can you talk a little bit about what the public interest is?
Absolutely. There is a specific public interest in making sure that the erosional threat to public and private structures is reduced by making the beach wider. You saw pictures of public structures, including these outlets from the city's stormwater system, in the pictures. You also have, I think, a public interest in protecting property generally in the city, whether it be privately owned or publicly owned. And we have the general public interest of preserving and enhancing the public beaches. In fact, there is a case, Hayes v. Aquia Marine, and I'm sorry I'm citing case law again to you, but 243 Virginia 255, a 1992 case from the Virginia Supreme Court. And what it says is an easement owner, the owner of the dominant estate, not only has the right, but has the duty to maintain its easements. So we have obtained easements, in fact, right of entry onto those easements across these four properties. We have existing easements on the other properties. We have a duty to maintain them. And maintaining them in the context of a beach is keeping the sand. So on that basis, we think there's a significant public interest at issue here.
Further questions? Mr. Schick.
Would this beach improvement also help in a major tide surge inland for other pieces of property that aren't waterfront?
I imagine so, although I am not a coastal engineer. I have a coastal engineer here, and I'm happy to call him up here. He can give you probably a better answer. Mr. Roars?
Raise your right hand, please. You solemnly swear the testimony that you're about to give will be the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth, so help you God. State your name for the record, please.
Philip Roars.
Please respond to question from...
Could you please say it again?
Yes. This beach nourishment, is this also going to help in great tide surge from hurricane or whatever, inland more than just the waterfront pieces of property?
Well, absolutely. Any enhancement along these beaches will not only preserve and protect the existing front line, but all those condominiums that back them. Any increased protection that we put on the shoreline would provide that much protection against overtopping and flooding from behind. It's kind of a unique situation here in that it's an inlet. You could always be flanked by the inlet, but against direct wave attack and overtopping of the dunes by direct wave attack, it certainly would help reduce the probability that waves would be able to propagate land.
Further questions? Thank you, Mr. Ward. Thank you, Mr. Boynton. We'll afford you an opportunity to rebut after we've heard from others. I think also, and it's a very short order, I think it's appropriate from an evidentiary perspective to read into the record the order of the Circuit Court of the City of Virginia Beach. Virginia City for Virginia Beach Petitioner versus Lynn Haven Dunes Condominium Association. Order approving application for right of entry on June 4, 2009 in the City of Virginia Beach. Filed an application for entry for on property owned by Lynn Haven Dunes Condominium Association, Inc., further known as Lynn Haven Dunes, pursuant to Virginia Code Section 25.1233, at sequence, to enter upon and use the property easement to be condemned in this matter prior to the determination of just compensation. The court conducted a hearing on July 22, 2009. After carefully reviewing the briefs, evidence, and arguments submitted by the parties, the court finds, number one, the easement is for the construction and recreation purposes described in this complaint, petition, and condemnation to confirm public easements, and A, a public necessity or essential public convenience requires entry upon and use of the easement prior to a hearing to determine compensation, and B, an emergency exists requiring such entry. The interests of Lynn Haven Dunes will be adequately protected by the city's payment into the court for the benefit of the owner and others claiming the fund amount of the offer made in accordance with Virginia Code Section 25.1204 as required by the Code of Virginia, Section 25.1224. Number three, no bond is required to assure payment of any sum determined and awarded at the hearing on just compensation. Before the city enters upon the easement, the city's directed to deposit with the clerk of the court its check in the amount of $15,000 payable to the clerk and for the benefit of Lynn Haven Dunes and all lien holders, successors, assigns, and others claiming on behalf of Lynn Haven Dunes, and also for the benefit of the city representing the rights of the public. The amount deposited represents the estimated value of the easement to be condemned and damages, if any, to the residue of the property owned by Lynn Haven Dunes and shall remain in the clerk's account pending further order of the court. The city is granted the right to enter upon and use the easement on July 24, 2009 for the purposes set forth in the complaint, petition and condemnation to confirm public easements. The clerk is directed to provide certified copies of this order. It is so ordered, I presume that's R. Bonnewell Shockley, the judge?
That is correct.
End of this 24th day. So I think it's thought important to enter that into the record of VMRC.
Commissioner, can you hear me?
Yes, I can, Mr. Josephson.
I think you ought to mention that that's applicable to all four of the properties that were involved in litigation.
So noted. Thank you.
If I might add one.
Mr. Boynton.
One additional point, sir, and I apologize.
Yes, sir.
Popping back up here. There was also a request by those four property owners, or at least the three ones represented by Paulson, seeking an injunction to keep the city off the property, and that injunction was denied by oral ruling. So that was sought and lost by the property owner.
I think that's important. Thank you. Who else is in support of this project that wishes to speak? Yes, sir. Would you come forward? How many folks are going to speak in support of the project? Could you all stand? The ones that are going to speak in support, would you please rise? Okay, and once this is your opportunity, if not, I'm not going to take anybody else because I'm going to run this in an orderly manner. Raise your right hands, solemnly swear the testimony you give today will be the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth, self to God.
I do.
Thank you. Your first, sir, please state your name for the record.
I am William Clegg. I'm a member of the Harbor Gate Condominium Board of Directors. I've lived at Harbor Gate for more than 7 years and have personally watched the loss of more than half of our beach and the serious damage done to our dunes by the increasing effects of the waves from the bay. I have five pictures with me this morning taken from my condo balcony on June 21st and 22nd of this year, and they vividly show the action of the waves against the beach and the dunes at or near high tide. I also have two additional pictures taken on the beach dated April 16, 2009, that show the destruction of the dunes at Harbor Gate and Cape Henry Towers. And I'd like to present that.
And we'll have to keep those, sir.
Okay.
Thank you.
As a graduate of the United States Marine Academy and a retired naval officer, I do have some experience with the effects of tidal and wave actions on shorelines. As a board member of the Harbor Gate Homeowners Association, I testified at the trial last week in which the City of Virginia Beach was awarded beach easements for four properties whose owners were opposing the beach nourishment. The four property owners who were not willing to give the city the easements necessary to complete the sand replenishment project own adjacent properties, at least one of which is being developed as a condominium. The sale signs on that property list a private beach as one of the benefits of ownership. The majority of the owners along the entire beach have signed the easement agreement. The opposition by the four property owners to placing sand on their beaches appears to me to be a disregard of the wishes of the majority of homeowners as well as the community as a whole for the benefit of a few. Those opposing the project talk about the loss of their riparian rights. However, as was discussed in court last week, those owners will continue to have full recreational use of the beach, regardless of its future width. There are many other aspects advocated by the opposition, but I'll not take up your time today discussing those. Because the owners of the four properties who oppose the project represent a small percentage of the property owners between the Lesner Bridge and Cape Henry, I respectfully request that you approve the permit modification to allow sand to be placed on the beach between Jade Street and the Lesner Bridge. I believe it is time to place the needs of the majority over the desires of a small minority. Thank you.
Thank you. Any questions, gentlemen?
I have two other additional items, if I may.
Yes, sir.
I'd like to have the Harborgate residents who are here today supporting the permit modification and are present in the room stand up. Thank you. I also have with me the signatures of 50 other Harborgate residents who support the permit modification but were unable to attend today. Thank you.
Thank you, sir. I think Mr. Fox has one question for you, sir. Mr. Fox?
Can you identify the lot number of Harborgate?
Yes, sir. It's number two right here. We're talking about this beach right here.
Okay. For the record, he has pointed to number two on the map provided. Further questions? Thank you, sir. Who's next, ma'am? State your name, please.
April Tolinaire. I'm a resident and a board member at Harborgate, and I'm reading a prepared statement from another resident who couldn't be here today, from Brian Schoenfeld with Harborgate.
And would this also be your testimony as well?
Yes, I will say that I concur with his prepared statement.
Proceed.
I wish to express my concern regarding the permit to include the area from Jade Street to the Lesner Bridge, so that we can obtain the sand needed to replenish our beach, which is rapidly eroding away in front of our eyes. I have observed this firsthand over the years, having been an original resident owner of Harborgate for over 30 years. I'm a native Norfolkian, born and raised on the shores of Lafayette River in the Larchmont City section of the city. I experienced many nor'easters, hurricanes, and particularly the Ash Wednesday storm of 1962, which did extensive damage and erosion to my parents' Covington Lane home, which was on a point of land jutting out into the river. Even the construction of an expensive concrete bulkhead could not stop the perpetual onslaught of Mother Nature. Even what I thought of as an impervious barrier had to be patched up several times over the years. Here at Harborgate, we don't have a concrete bulkhead to protect our property, only some natural sand dunes which are taking the brunt of Mother Nature's fury in a losing battle, I fear. We have lost our wooden bridge to the beach several times, and I use the term beach, or what's left of it, very loosely. I can't impress on you enough the dire need to help save the integrity of our beach, so that not only we who live here can continue to walk, swim, and fish on it, but also for those who come after us, who would also want to enjoy all of the beach has to offer. Please do the right thing and approve the addition of our portion of the aforesaid beach to the Corps of Engineers contract currently under consideration. Thank you for your time.
Thank you, ma'am. Any questions? Who's next? Yes, sir.
No prepared speech. My name is Fred Phillips.
Phillips, good to have you here.
Thank you very much. I am a longtime resident of this area. My parents lived across the shore drive from here. My wife's aunt lived in Harbor Gate. I am now a resident of Harbor Gate for the last, since December of 07. What you see here was taken in 05, and since we moved in December of 07, come back along this walkway to approximately here, it's come back, as you can see probably from the pictures of the college gates, over here, it's in the gazebo is now in the water at all times, and eliminated most of this. We were property owners for 10 years in Nagshead. I thought the dunes down there. I planted the beach grass. I've seen what happens. And if that keeps eroding toward the end, it will take our building, and then it will progress down the lines. So I feel it would be short-sighted for anyone at all, to not want this to happen and protect our land. Because once it starts eroding through one, as I'm sure the coastal engineers know the sea, it just widens the gap. I saw that happen in our adjacent property in Nag's Head, where someone had moved back, had breached the dunes, and if you remember the Halloween storm that came through, it widened that gap tremendous in just a matter of minutes or a couple of hours, and it deposited sand over 600 feet across the road and leveled the ditches on the other side. So I am in support of anything we can do to protect the dunes.
Thank you. Any questions, the gentleman? Thank you, sir. Who's next?
Sorry about hiding behind.
That's okay. I saw you back there.
Sorry.
State your name for the record, please.
Huck Bowie. My company, Terry Peterson Residential, in conjunction with Napolitano Homes, is a joint venture owner of the trading under the name of the Terry Companies of property shown as property number one, the old Duck Inn site, which we now refer to as Point Chesapeake. Okay. I'm not an attorney, and I'm not here to try to argue property rights, riparian rights. I sat through two of the 3 days of the court hearing and had an opportunity to listen to both sides, and I feel like Mr. Boynton certainly argued that case very well this morning. I'm sure you're going to hear from the opposition about how they feel differently about that. I think Mr. Robbins addressed what I consider to be the most prevalent and key issue of this whole thing, and that has to do with the public interest. And in my mind, the public interest is the preservation of a natural resource, which is the shoreline of the Chesapeake Bay from the Lessner Bridge down to First Landing State Park. Now, you're going to hear, and you've seen, a number of pictures that are going to argue whether or not this is an accreting beach or an eroding beach. I'm going to suggest, as Mr. Rohr suggested and others have said, that the sand goes in the direction from east to west. And over years, it's very obvious, there's photographic information that will prove that this is an accreting beach. It's not an accreting beach anymore. I've got a couple of photographs I'd like to give you that were taken May 5th of this year. Again, it's during low tide. What these photographs show is the fact that we no longer have a primary dune on our property. That dune is gone. And I would suggest it's not the actions of the hurricane that has created damage to this property, but it's been the nor'easters that we've experienced over the last year that's created this. The bulk of the damage that's occurred, and it can be documented, has occurred over the last year, where we've had a number of significant northeast storms that are out there. So I would certainly encourage this commission to please take and consider the ramifications of what's going to not happen if, in fact, we don't get that sand. This is an opportunity. The permit is in place. We just needed a minute to include that. If, in fact, for whatever reasons, you feel that there are legal issues that prevent you from including the entire portion of the beach from Jade Street east to the bridge, then I'd certainly suggest give us an opportunity, at least property number one and property number two, Harbor Gate, and our property, to be included into the permit, and then let the Corps and the city determine whether, with the contractor, whether they have the ability to be able to go back and rebid the contract, or whether they have the ability to proceed with that. But at least give us an opportunity to take advantage of the sand. Otherwise, we're 3 years from now, and as you can see from those photographs, we can't stand three more years of storms. Our beach is going to be gone. You know, the picture that shows the gazebo, in my prior life, when I was a practicing civil engineer, my company worked with Bill Miller, the owner of the Duck Inn, to build the gazebo. And at the time the gazebo was built, the pilings were actually driven into the water. That was probably 22 years ago or longer. In the past 22 years, that beach has accreted where you can look at photographs where the beach extended seaward at least 50 to 75 feet. That's all gone now. And for whatever reason, and I don't think anybody can put their finger on it, that beach is no longer accreting. That's not to suggest that it won't start to do that, but I'm going to suggest that we need the relief now. We've got the opportunity to get the relief now, and we'd certainly appreciate your consideration of that. Thank you.
Thank you, sir. Any questions? Thank you. Who would like to speak in opposition to the project? Come forward, sir.
Mr. Commissioner, Commissioners, my name is Lou Paulson. I'm the attorney for three of the property owners and also an owner of two of the properties.
Raise your right hand. Solemn swear testimony you're about to give be the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth, self to God. Thank you. Proceed.
I'm not going to be here to retry the case. We spent 3 days trying the case. I would like to make a couple comments, though, with regard to that. By the way, the property owners that I represent are Lynn Haven Dunes, Poseidon Court, and also WIR. And they are, this is Lynn Haven Dunes right here, number 5. Number 7 is WIR, which is a new development of condominiums. And number 8 is Poseidon Court. First and foremost, I'd like to make it very, very clear to the commissioners that we have always, always, always taken the position that we're not interested in interfering with people who need sand getting sand. We've said that from day one to the city. We've offered them a construction easement for no cost. They can go across our property. We don't want the sand. We don't need the sand. If you want to put some sand on our beach, you can, but don't put it into the water. But we really don't want the sand, and we don't need the sand, and we'll show you why. But I want to make it very clear, we never wanted to interfere with anybody east of Jade. We don't want to interfere with Duck Inn and Harbor Gate. If they want sand, we said, put the sand down there. You can come across our property, put it down there. So we've always taken that position. One of the things that is a big, big bone of contention, and it just amazes me, that the city continues to say this area, and I'm talking about our area now. I'm not talking about Duck Inn, and there's some different issues going on down there. But our area is eroding, and the court proceedings made it very, very clear. Our area, in fact, going all the way down Lynn Haven Dunes and down to Cape Henry, is not eroding. I have brought, and once again, we had like 50, 60, 70 exhibits, many of which were multiple exhibits, but I did bring the photographs for you all that were prepared by VIMS in a 2005 report, which happens to be a shoreline study that was done by VIMS. There's another shoreline study that was commissioned by the city by Mr. Basco, who's a Old Dominion professor, and both of these very, very detailed reports concluded that the Cape Henry beach has been accreting since 1852. These particular pictures that I'll hand to you, this is a 2007 picture. Let me show you this one first, and I'll pass them up. It has a red line on it. And I didn't prepare these. Vince prepared these. But so that red line shows the shoreline in 2007, but the red line shows what the shoreline was in 1934. And then we also have
like every 7-year intervals. Them also had aerial photographs showing how this line continued to go out. The actual distance from that 1934 line out to the knee low water is now almost 800 feet. We also have a survey by a surveyor who actually did surveys on the property back in 1997. And I'll leave this with you all also. But it shows on here the 1926 line. This is Page Avenue. It shows it was 275 feet from Page Avenue to the 1926 shoreline. Then it shows the 1956 line, which is another 312 feet. So now it's accreted. It's now 580 some feet to the shoreline. And then there's another actual survey that was done in 2007 with another 217 feet. So just actual surveys being done shows that this property has accreted almost 800 feet. It's interesting if you look back at the 2007 pictures that we've got for you, many of the properties are really in front of the 1934 line. So these properties have been built on accreted land. What Mr. Boynton did not give you, unfortunately, and I did not bring a whole set of our copies, he's given you pictures that were taken after Hurricane Noel, 2006, 2007, and there was some damage. There always is damage after a hurricane or after a particular northeaster. What he didn't give you were about 25 pictures that we submitted to the court showing the beach on July 4th and also July 22nd, showing these same areas. And I'm sorry I didn't bring them with me, but there are multiple pictures. So like I said, I'm not here to re-argue the case. All you have to do is look at the VIMS report. All you have to do, and by the way, there's another VIMS report that dealt with the actual dunes and the dune growth. Part of the problem that the Harbor Gate is experiencing, or whatever they want to call it, is these dunes have grown so much. If you look closely at some of the pictures that we'll be giving to you, you can see where the end of walkways were in 2002. Then you can see where that end of that walkway was in 2007. You can actually see the end of this walkway in 2002 is almost to the edge of the dune. And then you go to 2007, you can see all this growth of dune and all the new dune going up. And that's just in 5 years. So the dunes are growing. And the shoreline report, the dune report will show you that. And one of the problems when the dunes grow, if the dunes grow faster than the accreted edge of the water, then there's less beach. But there's really more distance to the mean low water. Once again, I'm not here to retry the whole case. I'm here just to point out the major issues. So our position has always been it's not an emergency, and certainly our beaches, in fact, Mr. Rohr, when he testified, he finally admitted that our beaches are still accreting. There is no erosion on those 4 or 5 or 6 properties. As far as erosion on down in the Duck Inn, there's some things that have been going on there. Obviously, you all know that they straightened out the channel 3 years ago, creating more of a displacement of water coming through the inlet. Also, it's being developed. The Duck Inn was taken down. There's another big building that was removed. They moved sand and dirt around. I mean, things have happened there. I don't know what the cause of some potential encroachment of water down in Duck Inn. And once again, we've taken the position exactly what they said. If they want to put sand down there, by all means, put sand down there. We'll give you access across our beach. If we don't want to stop anybody from getting sand. So that's extremely important. There is absolutely no emergency. The sand and the beaches are growing. The second and by far the most important issue that's before you, that I believe is before you, and was before the court, and will continue to be before the Supreme Court, is the jurisdiction in this particular case of the court to allow condemnation of this sort. The statutes in Virginia are very, very
definite in dealing with condemnation. They're very strictly construed. Our nation was built on the U.S. Constitution. Our nation was built on the Virginia Constitution. It's very clear. You don't take private property. That's what we believe in as a nation. That's the foundation of our nation. You don't take personal private property or real private property unless there's an actual need for a public use and you're properly compensated. What the city offered for this property? On one property, they offered $3,800. They didn't just offer the $3,800. They then, by the way, said, well, part of that's ours, too. For a public beach, a private beach, they offered $3,800. Another property, Lynn Haven Dunes, they offered $15,000. 72 homeowners with properties worth $600 to $1.5 million, and they offered $15,000. The city also was never told all these other property owners the truth about what is really being taken. And that is really the subject of why we're here. And that really comes under your purview. As you well know, the state owns the bottom lands. The state owns anything under the water. Their plan is to put sand into the water. When that happens, as you well know, you deal with this all the time, that property then becomes state-owned property because you've filled up water, state-owned water lands, and or bottom lands, and it then becomes state-owned property. The city never mentioned this in the easement, and this is one of the big issues on appeal. The city effectively is condemning the fee and taking riparian rights away from the property owners. By putting sand into the water, they've cut off the right to any future accretion, because that future accretion now belongs to the state without stating that. They've effectively taken the fee of the property, but they're only saying they're taking the easement. That is a critical, critical issue here. There is absolutely no reason to be placing sand into the water along this beach. One of their final complaints, after they realized that the argument of this property that we were dealing with was a treating, they could not deny that it's a treating. Maybe down by Harbor Gate they're getting some minimal erosion, but they couldn't deny that. Then their concern was that our property was going to treat even more now because they're going to place sand farther to the east, which is absolutely no reason to be condemning property. So we would hope that you all will take this into consideration. We don't believe anybody's being hurt. We don't believe there's any emergency to delay. At least give us the opportunity to have our appeal heard. Give us that opportunity. We don't believe there's anybody being hurt. There's one final issue, and that is, and the Corps of Engineers will attest to this, they're only going to take 135,000 cubic yards, approximately. That's what the contract calls for. If you figure out how much sand, mathematically, would be needed to do all these cross sections, they're going to run out of sand way before they get to our property, if they were coming from the east. They don't have enough sand to do what they're saying from Jade Street down to accomplish what they said they're going to do down to First Landing. So there would be no harm. And don't put any sand on this. Let us have our opportunity to be heard in court. And certainly don't come in and place it into the water. I think, like Mr. Bowie stated, hey, a good solution to this is go ahead and add those two properties and amend it based on those two properties that want it. Thank you very much.
Any questions, Mr. Paulson? Thank you, Counselor.
No.
Mr. Hale?
Thank you.
Yes, sir. I'm sorry? Those exhibits, since you presented them in commission hearing, will have to stay with us during the time of appeal, should there be an appeal. Yes, you may, please, sir. There's a whole packet right here. State your name for the record, please, sir.
Henry Howell III.
Mr. Bowman.
Carl Joseph then? Carl, can you hear me?
Yes, I can, sir.
All right, Hank Howell. We talked a long time ago. But nice to have you on the phone. I'm sorry you're ill.
Thank you.
I wanted to make sure you could hear me because a lot of these matters that I'm going to discuss probably need your attention, but we'll get to those. I have some cases I'd like to submit and I'm going to discuss, and I know the commission's going to want your input on them. But let me first introduce myself, Henry Howell III. I go by Hank. I'm here representing 3232 Page Avenue Condominium Association, three individuals owning three condos at this site that is very historically unique. The City of Virginia Beach in 2000, in arguing a case against Ed Lindsay's corporations in the City of Norfolk Circuit Court before Judge Poston, said this is the only private property, private beach in Virginia.
Mr. Howell, real quickly, do you have any property interest in any of these properties?
No. I just
proceed, then that's fine.
Yes. Yeah, thank you.
Thank you.
Which property,
although I,
which property number we talking about?
We're talking about number six.
Okay.
This near is about 7 feet there. I took on the task about 5.5 years ago of joining my cousin partner Joe Waldo to represent property owners exclusively in eminent domain proceedings. I'd had a general practice, including a practice with my father for about 22 years before that, but then I began to specialize, and I've taken great joy in this area of the law because it's a constitutional area of law. The unique history of these parcels, it goes back to the Civil War. Maryland sympathizers bought Virginia war bonds, and they had them after the war. And after Reconstruction, the Virginia General Assembly wanted to honor those debts. And for a short period of time, they decided to sell off the commons, that which is under your public trust, the commons. That was all the land that the colonists didn't want because you couldn't farm it. I learned this from studying the testimony of the expert witness that the city called in that 2000 case. To retire the bonds, they sold to the low mean water this property to create the only remaining private beach for Maryland sympathizers back to the Civil War, a narrow period of time. We had one case where Columbia Gas of Virginia, I guess they weren't represented, but maybe they were sitting here in the audience, moved the gas pipeline because it was going through a battleground, including breastworks, where black Confederate soldiers were held off the Union Army. I bring that up because of, one, the significance of the Civil War in Virginia and how much we try to protect that heritage, but that those African American soldiers, free men, were fighting the Union because they owned property. And that's what my clients own, private property, unique in this location. You are a citizen's board. I'm a member. My dad said we've got more appointments of citizen boards in Virginia than any other state because Harry Byrd, when he was governor, made sure the governor appointed everybody. But we get citizens. We get Jefferson's yeoman farmers. Jefferson's ideal citizen was the farmer who owned his acreage, was independent from the government, independent from special interests, and could make decisions for the common good. And that's why we are here today, thank goodness. I'm an average guy, like many of you are average guys, trying to do the right thing here. But I'm passionate. I admit to that. My wife tells me to sit on my hands. I'm not going to filibuster. I remember the joke of the young lawyer goes into the senior attorney and says, I'm going to my criminal trial, first one. And you got any advice for me, the senior boy? He said, keep talking. Okay, I got that. Keep talking. What else? Keep talking. Okay, but can't you give me something better? No, just keep talking. Well, why do you keep telling me that? Because as soon as you stop, your client's going to jail. So I'm not doing that here, I hope.
Please don't, because this commission is very much impressed with brevity.
Okay, all right, here we go. And everyone's ready to hear this. All right, let me deal with riparian property rights.
Please do.
All right, we know 22.2-1200 secures to the state those waters, well, it requires, it identifies all that land, subaqueous soil, below low mean water is the state's property. By statute, it gives it. Now, we've got a double whammy here squared. We've got Civil War statutes giving us property rights, and we've got a statute of the General Assembly giving us property rights to low mean water. Now, I offer, because you don't have it, you only have that right of entry order. Condemnation law. There are two forms of condemnations, quick take and slow take. Quick take is for the certain projects, including like VDOT projects, sewer lines, water lines, and oyster beds, because they're linear projects and you have to dredge out there. It doesn't permit it for this, so they have to do what's called slow take. Under slow take, they file a petition for condemnation, and they must wait till after they pay just compensation to get any title. They have zero title now. Zero. Unlike quick take, that gives VDOT and cities building roads defeasible title that once just compensation is paid, turns into indefeasible title. They have no title. They have no easement. Now, what is right of entry? The emergency that the court based that order on was you. You were the emergency. We have to get this before the board now so we can do this project now with the Army Corps. It was money and a failure to plan. An emergency is not a failure to plan. An emergency is not trying to take the easy way, private property rights. It was you. You were offered. You're complicitous through them in creating the emergency. Have we had an adequate public interest time here? I was fighting. We were fighting through Friday. Are we to presume we're going to lose? When I was done with my closing argument, I think a couple people thought we might win. We might pull it out. But that judge was looking at the city manager and the city attorneys and property owners. What's the Constitution about? To protect the minorities from the rule of majority, especially when it comes to property rights and just compensation.
Mr. Howell, I'd like to ask you this. I'm a little uncomfortable at taking this tack where we are put in a position of questioning an order of the court. I think it's inappropriate at the present time when we do have an order of the court, and then apparently an injunction was applied for, not received as well. Unless there's evidence contrary to...
Absolutely. Here I'm offering the petition for condemnation that indicates riparian rights were not condemned. And if you don't condemn the riparian rights, when that is added, that's our land. We own the fee. Plus, when the easement extends, they're imposing taking some of the state's bundle of sticks out of our bundle of sticks of property rights when they impose their easement on our land. So when they don't take the riparian rights, and I offer some cases here. Love the United States Supreme Court, County of St. Clair versus Lovingston, old case, Mississippi River, public works, artificially causes an increase in the alluvion. That is that upland owner's property rights. I go to Thurston versus the City of Portsmouth. What are our riparian rights that attach to our lands that Civil War post-construction General Assembly gave to us? First, the right to be and remain riparian proprietor and to enjoy the natural advantages thereby conferred upon the land by its adjacency to the water. the right to access to the water, including the right-of-way in navigable part, the right to build a pier or wharf out in the navigable water subject to the regulations of the state, the right to accretions and alluvion. This is Virginia Supreme Court. The right to make reasonable use of the water as it flows past our lays of land. And what did they go on to say? Repairing rights may be severed from the fee, but how is it done? The intention to do so must be clear and manifest upon the face of the deed.
Did you make these arguments before the circuit court in Virginia Beach, Mr. Howell?
No.
You did not?
Okay. Because it wasn't relevant. They condemn what they want to condemn. I'm stuck. The city decides what they're going to take. The government decides. The property owner has to prove an abuse of discretion. So we take what they give us. And that petition or complaint is the deed. And the riparian rights must be clear and unequivocally taken. And they are not. In fact, their appraiser valued this quarter acre of private beach at $8,000 in fee and valued the easement at 50%, $4,000. It doesn't say anything about the riparian rights. So there is their appraiser who came to court and testified as to what is just compensation, and he did not appraise the taking of any riparian rights. So that's their guy saying they don't have it. So when they add it, we own it. We own the fee. And if you want to give away the state's subaquation source, fine. If you want this to constitute a taking, are you satisfied they're indemnifying you personally for an unconstitutional, illegal act? That will allow you to sleep at night? Oh, don't worry. The city's going to hire a lawyer for me when I'm sued. Now, I know a lot is under the bridge here. There was a private telephone conference with the Assistant Attorney General. No Property Owners Council was part of that before the last one to explain these things. I tried to get up with Mr. Josephson yesterday when Justin Horrell told me to do it and I couldn't reach him. I told him about Lovingston versus St. Louis. I told him about Thurston versus the City of Portsmouth. I haven't had an opportunity to discuss it. The owners haven't. Here's Miller versus Commonwealth. They came in last time and suggested Senator Stallie was going to get special legislation passed to confirm title. Why do they need that if they have it? And Senator Stallie's probably going to be sheriff. And Miller said you cannot take with one statute what has been given by another, so that would be unconstitutional. They are built on unconstitutional acts, and they are using you to manipulate the court and the urgency. Here is the... Is Vim's here?
Sure are.
I've got... I might have dropped... Oh! Well, I've got their 2005 study right here if they want to confirm it.
My name on it. Yes, sir.
That's the BIM study at this beachfront. Beach 6, you will find in the table, it is the only stable dune that's accreting over the course of time. There is no emergency. They got 130 cubic tons. They got to start putting it down at the other end. Why do you put... And the other thing is, we've never had artificial sand put on this. This dune has grown. You will see. The Duck Inn did not exist in 1937. They're in here making us add to them? Commercial property from developers? We need to step back. Let's take a moment. Let me get up with Mr. Josephson. This ain't stopping. Nowhere is it stopping. Because when you deal with property rights, dealing with politics, you're dealing with the law, you're dealing with the Constitution, you're dealing with an American's feeling close to it. Close to it, it strikes a chord. When Kelo versus City of New London, the Supreme Court came down and said, you can condemn for these private people to give a special benefit to a developer of the U.S. Constitution. There was an outcry. Here are pictures. Oh,
when you get down and the public that doesn't have any parking here greets their neighbors that want to open up their beach, the only way in is J Street. Nobody walks all the way down here. And the signs they get along that street, private property, no beach access. What's on the dunes? Private property, no trespassing. Those are the people who are calling for the public here. And the only people, did Mr. Ward answer your question about the surge? No. He talked about going over the dunes that were naturally created. We should not do anything with those. We should find out how they formed. Not mess up with the process of nature in this. But I ask you, let's take a month. Let's take a month. We rushed this through. We just had the court decision. We've been battling in court. Now we got to come in on Tuesday? Well, we're here. And we're prepared. I'll offer the posting decision that the city said we were the only private property. And that included the riparian rights. They did not take under that complaint. They didn't even call it a petition for condemnation. So if you want to be complicit in that, rush in. Rush in. Don't give us a month. I respect you all. You're citizens. You got lives. You're here as public servants. I know that. I apologize for my passion, but I feel it's strong. Thank you.
Thank you, sir. Yes, ma'am.
My name is Donia Story, and I hate to make light of this, but after hearing everything, I feel like the person that came to a gunfight with a knife. I am a volunteer. I am not an attorney. I'm not a...
Right hand,
I'm
please.
Sorry. Yes, sir.
I'll just read the testimony. You have to give me the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth, so help me God.
Help me God. Yes, sir. My name is Donia Story. I am a volunteer. I have that wonderful position of being the president of the Homeowners Association for Cape Henry Towers. And I will do my best.
Excuse me, where is
yes,
Cape
sir.
Henry Towers in this?
At number
three.
And thank you, must be Mr. World. Yes. And I'm going to do my best to hit kind of the high points. I know we've all been here a long time. And I'm representing probably the largest group, even though I don't have them here to stand, but I represent 199 families. Those are the property owners of Cape Henry Towers. I hate to sound apologetic. I didn't have enough time. I don't have all the pictures. I didn't realize I'd have to enter them in because I brought family pictures from my homeowners. I quickly, over the weekend, put out this thing, can you give me any pictures to show the beach and how much it's grown? I do have one gentleman's picture that was a copy, which I could certainly give you.
Thank you, ma'am.
And essentially what I'm here to talk about, and the very important point to make, because if ever there is a place that I do not want to be, it's here this morning, because it's a very uncomfortable position. I feel like we've been made out by a number of people as the folks that don't care about our neighbors and so forth and so on, which is absolutely not the truth. Probably the proudest thing I'm here to say today after hearing everyone is it was our building, and I've lived in this building for 33 years. Our family has had units for 33 years. So I feel that I have somewhat grown up in that building and absolutely, with my own experience, can testify to what has happened with that beach, the good and the bad. Essentially, what we have is a situation where we made very clear to the City of Virginia Beach when presentations were originally made, and I will say, and I even double-checked this thinking, did I miss something, the point of the state owning the beach, and I'm trying to be very simplistic because I don't have all the right language, but when I spoke with Mr. Worrell, I made the phone call to clarify what the letter meant and explained to him that when the special easement was put in front of us by the City of Virginia Beach, I, as the president, had to take a legal vote. I don't unilaterally just get to sign off on paperwork that comes to me. They understood, gave us a few extra weeks. We conducted the vote of our homeowners, and they voted against it. for one basic reason. Number one, we do have easements in place, which, again, I'm glad to be able to.
Thank you.
I'm glad to be able to provide for the record. And we felt that since we had easements in place that allowed for any emergency vehicles or things to be done on the beach, since we have been allowing and don't plan to stop to have folks walk through with their pets, their children, whatever, along the beach, we've never put up fences, never tried, you know, we have the fishermen that like to come out at sunrise. We've never tried to stop that, nor is it our intent today to try to stop that. What happened is that your letter came to us, and it forced me to sign and check a box. And in doing so, when I clarified, I saw that unlike the letters that came to us back in March, which we did not oppose or I would have been here, it only included Jade Street heading east. We're all in favor of that. I am not here, nor are homeowners here, to try to stop anyone getting sand. And I was so glad to hear Mr. Worrell say that they had the ability to be able to actually put sand not only east of Jade, but west of Jade for those folks that want it. We absolutely can show that that single thing I was most proud of is the fact that back in the early 70s, it was our building, our homeowners, that began a conservation project before the state or anybody in the city thought of it. We were the ones, if you take a look at the old beach, there was no seagrass, oats, and all the other vegetation. We used to have Saturday seedling parties, and that was to protect for the future and to grow the dunes. We had enough people that knew a little bit about that from firsthand circumstances. Those dunes have grown, and there's been so much accretion of sand that I now, as a property owner who live on the third level, I used to be able to sit out on the weekend. My sister lives in the building, too, and I could see whether she was on the beach, and, you know, we'd go out and sit and have a good time. Today, those dunes have grown to be so large, I have virtually lost all view of the beach. They have not only from our seawall grown out, they have grown up tremendously to the point that we used to have, we have this walkway that was well over the dunes. I estimate that probably in about a year, those dunes will overtake our walkway. They have become so high, so deep, and so strong. Now, am I here and saying that? All I'm saying is we feel very confident that our property is protected. Again, we do not want to object to anyone else. If you needed to lay pipeline, or again, I don't know the terms, but let's say the materials on our beach to be able to go back and forth and cut the cost and whatever, we're not trying to block that. We said that to the city. We'll support that. But what we learned was if we allow that sand to be put directly on our beach, the city made a decision that kind of trumped the of the regulatory documents of the Army Corps that says we're going to make the policy to essentially try to make the beaches public. And our folks really have said, why are you pitting neighbor against neighbor? We're trying to help our neighbors, but at the why should it be at our personal cost of land that has been, that you recognize as ours? We have this easement. We gave that to you. The easement has been good. We're not looking to change the easement. We've never pulled it back. And that's what I'm here to say. I'm caught in this weird position of trying to protect the rights of our property owners. These folks have, they bought the property with the understanding it was theirs. We've paid taxes, full understanding this is our property. And at the end of the day, what is the number one single item that our homeowners do not want? The reason we don't want the beach to be public is we have experience during, we had a commercial property called the Duck Inn, which was a landmark. And in some of the later days, there were these Friday afternoon parties. Our homeowners got a taste of what a public beach could feel like, and what they do not want is we want to be able to protect our land from people that want to park and have a beer bust on our beach. We are a family beach. We're not one of these timeshares. We are a residential building. People don't want their grandchildren out there on the beach with the public partying the way you sometimes see. We want to keep our beach as we have had it. People walk back and forth on the beach. They enjoy it. That is not what we're trying to stop. That is the single issue, gentlemen, that has really made our homeowners say, Donia, this is our vote, and why am I here today? I have a responsibility under state law that I must sign and represent what my homeowners have voted on. I do not. I explained this to Mr. Boynton. He understands that completely. I explained it to Mr. Worrell. I don't, as a board member or a president, get to just go out and say, okay, I'm going to change because everything has to be taken to a vote. So our hope is, in closing, that I hope I've hit my key points. I know at the end of the day, we really cannot understand why they feel they have a prescriptive easement in our particular case. We don't really hold to that. And our hope is that we can support the, I didn't realize Mr. Worrell was going to make the presentation, but as I sat there, I thought to myself, that's the ideal world. And we're willing to let you run the pipes or whatever the equipment is, I'll say, on our beach. We will support that. But please do not put the sand on our beach. That's what they're against. Thank you very much.
Questions?
Yes, sir.
Mr. Robbins.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I do have one question. I thought you said earlier that the easements that you granted to the city that are in place now allow for public use of the beach. Is that correct?
It allows for people to ingress, egress. I'm not an attorney. It allows any of the city's vehicles to come on board for any emergency or public reason. It also allows people to walk across, what is it, traverse, or I'm not sure what the term is, but it allows them to walk back and forth across the beach uninterrupted, you know, with their dogs, the kids, the whole thing. What we're against is, I call it people parking on your beach, making it a true public beach. And that's what our current easement does not have in place. But when you read the Army Corps documents, and when you take a look at the need, and I think the city agreed that our current easement would do the trick. So if we could come to that agreement that our easement that's in place without alteration would work and the sand doesn't go on our beach or whatever, we just continue to hold out that we're trying to be cooperative. Or else I would have had attorneys and whatever here today instead of my doing this.
Further questions?
Well, just to follow up, your existing easement, are you suggesting that it precludes people from stopping on the beach?
Exactly. If they wanted to stop and sit on the beach and have their picnic and that sort of thing, that's what it precludes.
Thank you.
Thank you,
ma'am.
Yes.
Anyone else in opposition? Mr. Worrell?
Commissioner, I have a copy of the easement and plat that the city provided us for Cape Henry Towers, and it's one note. I can either enter it and read it if it may help Mr. Robinson.
Please do.
It says the 30-foot pedestrian and emergency vehicle ingress and egress easement to be contiguous to the mean low water line of Chesapeake Bay and meandering along said mean low water line from the westernmost boundary to the easternmost boundary of Parcel A, and extending back in a southerly direction and uniformly a distance of 30 feet from mean high water. So it just says emergency vehicle ingress and egress, if you want that.
Mr. Boynton, you've got 5 minutes to wrap up.
Yes, sir, thank you. And I have a blow-up of that same easement. And Mr. Worrell read you the correct note. Basically, it says pedestrian ingress and egress as well as emergency vehicle access from the mean low water all the way to 30 feet southward, in this case, of mean high water. And by itself, it allows the placement of sand by virtue of the city's duty under the case I read you earlier, Hayes v. Aquia Marine, to maintain its easement. Part of maintaining this easement is the placement of sand to maintain the documented use. But above the documented use, the city also has, in its view, and is prepared to fight in court if we ever get there, that it has a prescriptive right because the public has been using this beach, just like it's been using the beaches to the left and the right, for more than 20 years. We've got the evidence to show the maintenance. We've got the evidence to show the policing of it. We've got the evidence to show public use of it. So we made a determination that, and outside counsel gave us the opinion, that we did not need to institute condemnation proceedings against this particular property owner because we had sufficient existing legal rights. And again, if there's a fight over that, you know, tomorrow or after, that's our burden, and we accept that burden. But certainly, we respect Ms. Story's situation. We understand that she represents individuals and she has to speak up for them. My only other couple of comments, I know I only have 5 minutes. First of all, with respect to Mr. Paulson and Mr. Powell's comments, literally everything that you heard was raised in the court case. And at the end of the court case, there was a determination that an emergency existed as a result of the severe erosion to allow access for the placement of sand on the four properties at issue in this litigation. So at the end of the day, that's the decision. And I would ask this board not to look behind that decision. The final point I would make is with respect to the alternative, and it was the first comment you heard, but it's pretty important. Mr. Lockwood from the Corps said, you know, in response to the alternative that was proposed by staff, and we certainly appreciate staff being creative and trying to think how we can make everybody happy here, that if a grant of a partial modification to properties 1 and 2 and then properties, you know, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, that they just simply, I believe I'm quoting them correctly, would not do properties 1 and 2 because the means and methods involved of placing the equipment on the beach, demobilizing it, moving it, placing it back on the beach several beaches later, or several properties down, what would require essentially a rebid of the contract, would increase the cost, and it's just something that practically isn't feasible at this point in time. And so we obviously support our partner, the Corps, and don't believe, while that's a well-intended option, that it's a feasible option at this point. Thank you.
Any questions, Mr. Boynton, follow-up? Mr. Robbins, question.
You said that the arguments that we heard today were essentially arguing before the court. We heard several times about a Venn Shoreline report characterizing the beach and accretion there, too, I guess, in this area. Were those reports referenced in the considered by the court?
They were absolutely considered. They were offered into evidence and accepted into evidence. So the further testimony was that it was a 2005 report based, I believe, on 2002 aerial photos. And we have the reports prepared here. They were a snapshot in time. Nobody disputed the snapshot in time, but we are 7 years after the date of the data in that report, and it was not deemed to be the situation today. Is, you know, still accretion.
Thank you. Hey, Mr.
So, we've definitely seen the on parcels 1 and 2. So you're maintaining then on 3 through 8 that over the last, I guess, since 2005, that when the photos were taken, that there's been erosion on those parcels also.
Absolutely. That was the testimony of Mr. Roars under oath. That was the photographic evidence. That was, I believe, the evidence from Mr. Blake here. And at the end of the day, the court said, with respect to these four properties 5, 6, 7, and 8, there is an emergency allowing the placement of sand on these four properties. That was the confines of the court case.
Further questions?
Commissioner?
Yes, sir.
As I recall, Mr. Honnell mentioned that the riparian rights was not discussed in the court proceeding with the city. On the other hand, I understand from Mr. Boynton that they were. I request that you ask Mr. Boynton to mention what was discussed, what was litigated in court concerning riparian rights.
Mr. Boynton, proceed.
They were absolutely discussed. In fact, Mr. Howell gave you a copy of his petition, or I gave him a petition, but he said that the riparian rights were supposedly not raised in the petition. They weren't. They argued that with respect to how the petition was allegedly defective because it did not describe the full scope of the easement that was put on the record at the hearing, and the court ruled that the take was not defective. It described the property with sufficient particularity and that the city had jurisdiction to proceed in spite of that specific argument.
Further questions, Mr. Josephson?
No.
Thank you. Mr. Commissioner, can I just respond very quickly? No, sir. Not the case. We're to the point now where it's going to be good. Matters will be before
can
the commission.
Can you let Mr. Josephson know I stood to respond to Mr. Boynton if he has a question for me?
Do you have any further questions of Mr. Howell at the present time, Mr. Josephson?
No, I do not.
Thank you.
And if you want to discuss this with me, I suggest we close meeting.
We may need to, but I'm going to proceed a little bit further at the present time. Thank you, Mr. Boynton.
Thank you.
In order to... I'm sorry.
No, you have one individual that you saw come up here who indicated he would not afford an opportunity to testify because he doesn't identify himself with either the opposing or...
I'm sorry. I don't want to... Come
sorry,
forward, sir.
Sorry for that. I'm neither opposed nor in favor.
Raise your right hand.
Yes, sir.
Tell us where the testimony you're about to give be the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth, except God. State your name for the record, please.
Robin Fairfield.
Please.
And I'm sorry to disrupt the process here. I see there's a little contest going on about who's been here the longest, whether you've been here 7 years or you live in a condo or what. My ancestors sailed through here and settled in the 1640s. So I don't think that gives
you got standing. Go ahead.
Okay. if we could get back to the other picture over here with all of the Cape Inner beaches or even the entire area. Yes, sir. There are consequences to the dredging here and the disposal of spoil. And sorry if I'm a little bit nervous, but you've heard a lot of testimony about whether the beach is accreting or not. I think you notice, people notice when a storm comes along, but they don't notice when the sand builds up and the grass grows and that sort of thing. So if you notice, if I may, Cape Henry here, this is north. The brunt of the northeast winds, when we get a northeaster, erodes Chesapeake Beachside, and there are planted properties out here in the water. Over here, we're building up all the time. You can see this. I live right here. Now, what I'm concerned about is that with the buildup of these beaches, which is occurring naturally, there will maybe other uses in front of our
beach. Sir, I need you to get back before the microphone test so I can keep this on
sir.
Record, please.
There.
Is there a pointer there, Justin? Is there a pointer that he can use?
Oh, okay. Very good.
Thank you.
What I'm concerned about is, I don't know how to turn it on. There you go. What I'm concerned about is the buildup of the beaches, and then that belongs to someone. And we do have this old reconstruction government thing and all that kind of stuff. But it seems that the developers and city council have a way of getting in bed with each other from time to time. And everyone says, no, that could never happen. Well, right here, from the old Great Neck Road down to the fishing pier, you see these streets right here? This street here was the beachfront when that was platted in 1908. And then, even in the 70s, all of these condos, an entire block of condos, was built on property that was sanctified by a past city council and developer. So now, over here, you can see how much is built up. A tremendous amount is built up here over time. We don't need any sand. We would like to have a wider beach, and we'd like to have it of that nice, fine, white sand. My concern is, and I'll get this where I'll finish up, is that the dredging out here will take place first, and that nice sand will be put over here, and then if they have any left, they'll be dredging it from Long Creek, where you have all kinds of pathogenic organisms, a lot of silt, and it should be checked for viral organisms as well. And this is a bathing beach, and they intend to do this during the summertime or fall when we're fishing over there and that sort of thing. So the timing is wrong, and we don't need it. So what they proposed is a 6-foot elevation, even if they do have enough sand, which we think it'll be silt because we don't want. They proposed a 6-foot elevation. Now, because the wind comes from the northwest, carries the wave energy against our beach, it also drives the water away from the coast. So that's why we're building up. We have a well-developed bunch of sandbars here, but when there's a high tide, a wind-driven tide, either from a hurricane outside or a northeaster, it fills the tide up quite a bit, the level up, but the brunt of the wave action is over here. And then when the wind shifts around after the front goes through, it goes to the northwest, drives the water away from the bay, from the beach up here, and blows all that sand up into dunes and builds up more. And what I'm concerned about is that may be some area for some future condo. I would like to see if it is public use, which there seems to be some sort of doubt in history right now. I would like to see the city council set that aside for perpetuity, stating there would be nothing built on it. Thank you very much.
Thank you, sir.
And I hope I haven't bored you with it. Thank you for giving me the opportunity.
Not at all, sir. Thank you very much. Mr. Barnell. Mr. Hollowell, do you have... Sir?
Yeah, I want to speak to you. I'm not in against your report, but I got...
Okay, come forward, please. Anyone else want to speak before we... No, it's okay. I'm just trying to move the hearing along. Raise your right hand. Solemnly swear the testimony that you're about to give will be the truth, all truth, and none but the truth self of God. State your name for the record, please, Mr. Hollowell.
My name is Robert Hollowell. I've been fishing on the beach between the New Great Neck Road and Oak Street for the last 40 years. And what I'm concerned about is the fishing rights that's been left on that beach. If the city pumps sand in there, will the fishing rights go to the city? Can they override that and stop it from fishing?
I don't believe you can, sir. If that boat can stay in the water, you have a right to fish there.
Right. We're fishing off the beach for been there for 40 years.
Mr. Boynton, you want to respond to Mr. Hollowell's concern?
We agree with your statement. We're not in any way taking or infringing upon the fishing.
Thank you, and that's on the record.
If you'd heed this, and
be glad to.
One more thing I'd like
yes,
to
sir, say. Yes, sir. Okay. It'll be held in file. It'll be held in file. Thank you.
And I am concerned of, pumping the sand in during September and October when my fishing operation is going on. We normally start on the running 9th and off the beach by the 25th.
Okay.
The dune line between Oak Street and First Landing State Park is, I've got stakes up in the dunes. They did not take pictures of 100 foot up in the dunes. What they're doing, they're coming down every time you get a northeast wind, and it's winter, summer, city comes down with dozers and push all the grass and the sand right up against the dunes. So it's made the dunes wider and wider and wider and makes the beach narrower and narrower and narrower in that area.
Okay.
Thank you very much.
Thank you. Mr. Barnell. You've been previously sworn. When we have hearings like this, I like to have the best evidence possible. We talked about that report. Can you characterize the report that's been discussed this morning pertaining to erosion as to what was then, what is now, what's the situation from them's perspective as far as erosion or accretion in this area?
Well, you've seen some photos, and those were, as has been testified, were in court the other day, that we did have a one of the other authors of that report there for the record. That was Mrs. Donna Milligan. Excuse me, we thought Ms. Milligan would be best to answer because she did the digitizing on those lines, and there is some question about the accuracy of those lines on certain historical photographs. So we thought that would be the best case. So there was testimony from VIMS at the court hearing on that. We have actually done two reports for Virginia Beach concerning this area. One was what you've heard referred to as a snapshot, which was profiles of that beach area with mainly concerned for the dunes in that area. The other was the evolution report, quote, as part of the, excuse me, the title of that, which is a long-term, large-scale, not study, but a view of the dynamics over a larger time scale. And the term erosion has been thrown around a lot today. As history has shown, erosion is very subjective, and it's more of a time scale phenomenon than who you ask. So the photos actually speak for themselves for this area from that perspective on a long-term scale.
Meaning
that they have shown that there has been, that is a large sandbox. There's a lot of sand in that system. It is a natural phenomenon for beaches and dunes to come and go. Seasonally, sand moves offshore in bars because of the larger energy over the in the colder months. It moves onshore from ocean swells and the more calmer summer months, and the beaches will naturally accrete. So it's a sandy shore. It is a dynamic shore. It's not like a clay shore where you can actually judge what the erosion is over long term, because clay doesn't come back. Beaches, dunes, they do come back. I will say that we have documented, especially in First Landing State Park area, the height of the accretion of the dunes in very short term, up to 8 or 9 inches in a year. So there is movement of that shoreline. It depends on what time scale you're looking at as to what your determination of erosion would be. So I hate to be so vague, but it is a sandy shore that is very...
Questions of Mr. Warnell? Follow up?
Thank you a lot.
I'm sorry.
So we've seen these over the long term period that there's more sand obviously there now than there was in the 30s. But I know things can change, other things play into it. In the shorter period of time, is it a growth retraction situation, or has it been retracting more in this specific area than growth?
Well, I really hesitate to answer that question specifically. Our study was not done to determine that. And depending on the time scale, depending on your definition of severe that's been thrown around, I hesitate to answer that on a perspective that would be a concrete answer to that.
Further questions? Thank you all. Mm-hmm. Matters before the committee for discussion and action. Mr. Box?
Jim, could I ask Mr. Lockwood a question?
Yeah, you sure may. Mr. Lockwood?
How much sand do you contemplate will be dredged? We've heard a number, 135,000 cubic yards.
The estimate's about 150,000 cubic yards. And I did want to, since I'm up here, clarify where that material will be coming from based on the segments that we dredge.
Okay.
You're looking at the entrance channel, is this the pointer? Oh, yeah, that's perfect. You have the entrance channel to the bridge, then the turn in a mooring basin and side channel up to the entrance along creek, and all of that is all sand. That's what we've shown. We put out an Ocean Park, and you can show it was all very nice sand. That's what we'll replace there. And then going from Long Creek to Broad Bay, that material is placed at an upland contained facility at Maple Street, right there by, what is it called, Lynnhaven Marina?
Marina Shores.
Yeah. So that material that has more of that fine grain material would not be placed on the beach, but it's placed in an upland facility.
But the sand in question would be this one. From the channel going out to the bay?
Yes. Yeah, the entrance channel, and then inside the basin and turning mooring basin. Yeah, the entrance channel, the turning mooring basin, the side channel to right about right here. All this would go on the beach. That's all sand, very good quality beach sand. All this in here where there is shoaling, that's placed right here. And you can see that this is pretty good sand too.
All right, well, if you have 150,000 cubic yards, how much beach can you cover?
I'm an environmental scientist. I'm not an engineer. I haven't done that. I mean, what we look at is trying to get... We don't want to pin ourselves in where we run out of area to place sand. So obviously we want a larger area, especially if there's more sand than we have estimated in their shoal. So I really would not be the best to answer that question.
Do we have anybody here who knows how to answer that question?
I would defer to Mr. Roars. He might be able to shine more light on that.
Mr. Roars, you've been previously sworn.
Yes, sir. And the question was, is there sufficient...
If you have 150,000 cubic yards of sand,
right. Sir,
how much of the beach can
Phil
you...
Phil Roars...
How much of the beach can you nourish?
Well, we can nourish it all with that volume of sand. There was some discussion earlier about, I think Mr. Paulson brought it up, that the cross sections in the permit, they show an elevation 6, a width of berm as wide as 130 feet, and then a slope down into the water. That's an ultimate maximum. That's what's represented as the maximum authority we're asking of you. We only can place on the beach what's available in the channel. But this is a cyclical dredging project. Some years there's more sand. Sometimes it's a 4-year cycle, not a 3-year cycle. And so the document or permit actually states 250,000 cubic yards, whereas this time we're something less than 200,000. So 150,000 is sufficient to nourish the whole beach. We just won't be able to obtain that 6-foot-high, 130-foot-wide maximum beach shown in our request for authorization. I guess I'd also take the opportunity to point out that while these numbers of 130 to 140,000 have been thrown around, we won't know until the contractor gets ready to work and we actually do a survey immediately before dredging. We won't know until then what kind of volume we're working with. 130,000 cubic yards that was made mention of was based on a survey from months ago. We anticipate that there's been some shoaling in the channel since then, but we can't quantify it until we survey the channel again.
Mr. Schick?
So it's your estimate with the information you have now that you'll be able to replenish the entire beach if we approve this addition?
We would be able to, but I feel compelled to answer more fully, and that is there are areas of the beach where there is significant erosion. In the central portion of the beach near Westminster Canterbury, in the very western portion near the properties 1 and 2, we have sufficient sand to be able to put sand on all the properties. However, the rates of fill will probably vary so that we could address those areas that need more sand.
Mr. Robbins.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. In light of the legal questions that have been posed to us today, I think we might benefit from a discussion in closed session with our counsel. If it's possible to take the speakerphone into the conference room or call in from another phone in the conference room, if you'd be open to such a motion.
To be open to such a motion if it's made in proper form.
Thank you. Mr. Chairman, I move that this meeting be recessed and that the Commission immediately reconvene in closed meeting for the purpose of consultation with legal counsel and briefings by staff members pertaining to actual or probable litigation or other specific legal matters requiring legal advice by counsel permitted by subsection A, paragraph 7 of section 2.2-3711 of the Code of Virginia pertaining to case number 09-0427.
Is there a second to the motion?
Second.
Second by Mr. Holland. All in favor of the motion, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. All opposed? Motion carries unanimously. We'll be in closed session for a few minutes to discuss with legal counsel. Carl, I will I'm going to have to call you back in a few minutes after you can just break. Now reconvene the July 2009 meeting of the Marine Resources Commission. Mr. Robbins.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Whereas the Commission has convened a closed meeting on this date pursuant to an affirmative recorded vote in accordance with the provisions of the Virginia Freedom of Information Act, and whereas Section 2.2-3712D of the Code of Virginia requires a certification by this Commission that such a closed meeting was conducted in conformity with Virginia law, now therefore the Commission hereby certifies that, to the best of each member's knowledge, one, only public business matters lawfully exempted from open meeting requirements under Virginia law, and two, only such public business matters as were identified in the motion by which a closed meeting was convened were heard, discussed, or considered in the closed meeting by the Commission.
There's second to the motion.
Second.
Mr. Bowden?
Aye.
Mr. Fox?
Aye.
Mr. Holland?
Aye.
Mr. Lane?
Aye.
Dr. McConaughey is absent. Mr. Robbins?
Aye.
Mr. Schick?
Aye.
Mr. Tankard is absent. Chair votes aye. Motion passes unanimously. The matter is before the Commission for discussion and action. Mr. Robbins.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. We've heard a lot of testimony today about this case. Clearly, it's an important issue for the owners in the area, as well as for the public. I think we did hear, based on the evidence, that there was a compelling public interest in the project. And finally, we have a court order before us that makes several significant findings, notably that a public necessity and essential public convenience does require entry upon the easement and use of it. and additionally that an emergency does exist. We heard testimony from the protestants that there was in fact not an emergency, but we have a circuit court ruling before us that that heard that testimony and reached a different conclusion, and that conclusion was that there is an emergency, and therefore the entry is warranted. And finally, there is a requirement that the compensation be paid related to the easement. But I think it would be inappropriate for us to reach a conclusion different than the court order, which has already heard the facts. I don't think it's appropriate to retry those issues there. So I think at the end of the day, the public interest is compelling and does overwhelm the private detriments that have been raised by the protestants in opposition to the project. And with that, I would move approval of the permit as applied for.
Second motion. Motion made by Mr. Robbins, second by Mr. Holland. Further discussion? Mr. Lane?
I think Virginia Beach has made a compelling argument that the public interest is best served by this project as proposed. I regret that some landowners may feel aggrieved by that. I think that the city perhaps can take care of some of those concerns through city ordinances, and maybe ordinances already in place concerning potting on the beach and in and near private property. And so I think those arguments can be addressed, and I think there is a compelling public interest to go forward with that.
Thank you, Mr. Lane. Further comment, Mr. Schick.
I do concur with my fellow commissioners and the question that Mr. Howell had raised. That will probably be debated beyond this commission, but it's really not this commission's purview to determine those questions. And as to the riparian rights and compensation for those rights. That's not something that we have any standing on to make any ruling. So, although I do see that as something that needs to be discussed, and hopefully the landowners will get some satisfaction in that realm.
Thank you, Mr. Schick. Further comment? All in favor of the motion signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. All opposed? Motion carries unanimously. Thank you very much for a great presentation from all involved. We'll be in recess until 1 o'clock for lunch.